Hello, folks, and welcome back to another episode of the Books and Video Games Vodcast series by Keep Calm and Read On, aka me, Danielle. If you want to learn more about me and this show, you can subscribe to this YouTube channel. You could subscribe to the podcast audio feed on iTunes, or you can go to my website, keepcalmreadonblog.com. So, before we begin this episode, I just want to make the shout-out, as I usually do, that this is my opinion, and you have a right to agree, and you also have a right to disagree with me. I encourage you to leave a comment in the comments section with your opinions, and let's have a healthy discussion. Today, I'm going to be talking more about the TNT television adaptation titled Good Behavior. Good Behavior is a television adaptation of three short stories written by an author named Blake Crouch, originally in a book called Confidence Girl that was later taken off of the market and now has been republished as Good Behavior, just like the television show title. These stories, while I don't think they're that well written, are very enjoyable, mainly because of the main character of Letty Dobbish. So I would really encourage you to read them. They're short, they're sweet, you'll love them. And then I encourage you to watch this television show. After talking about Fantastic Beasts and really just hating on it, I think we're due for a positive episode of this vodcast. So I am here right now to talk about the first five episodes of TNT show Good Behavior. When this is posted, probably more episodes will be out, so I apologize for that. But without further ado, let's get started. So when I last talked about this television show, I really didn't go into depth about what I thought of it. I just sort of made a lot of blanket statements because I'd only seen the first episode and was just really on a high of how amazing Michelle Dockery was in this role. And there are some things that I want to build on that I mentioned in this previous episode, and I want to just talk about the show in general and my thoughts about it, and really my thoughts on it as an adaptation, because, I mean, after all, it is a book-to-television adaptation, and it is very good, but it also leaves a lot of things out. Sort of takes little bits of the stories and then scatters them into new stories, and I want to talk about that. First of all, this show is very well written. It has very dynamic characters, very flawed characters, but very interesting characters. They're not necessarily good people, but they are really good to watch. And that's what good storytelling is about, having really good characters who you want to succeed, and you want to see them do good, which is the whole basis of this show, right? I will say that it doesn't stick to the books all that well. And sometimes this is a very bad thing. But I think in the case of a television show, this one in particular, because the novellas or short stories, whatever you want to call them, because they didn't really have much content, basically like all the short stories in the original work titled Confidence Girl and now Good Behavior, Blake Crouch had three different tales of Letty Dobbish. So the first one was her, it was all about good behavior, essentially, and her doing something good, which was really the pilot episode of the show. The second book was about a heist that basically Letty teams up with somebody to steal this billionaire, I believe, his money, and he lives on an island, and Letty's afraid because her father, I think, abused her, and he would push her, try to drown her sometimes, and so she's afraid of the water, and so just being on an island terrifies her, and the guy ends up figuring out why she's there, and he goes crazy and tries to kill her. It's a whole thing. It's probably one of the most suspenseful piece or stories in the trilogy, and then Grab is her at a casino doing another heist, which is sort of implemented into the fifth episode, but not nearly to the same degree at all. And I sometimes, a lot of things that would happen in these books, I would find kind of unbelievable, and it makes me glad that it's not included in the show. And I think I am sad that some things aren't there, but for the most part, I think what this television show does right is, as I said, the writing is just really good. And I think that, yeah, we're sort of missing plot points that were in the original three stories, but we're getting better ones, and we're getting ones that are building off of those plot points and giving us better quality entertainment. And so I think this is an adaptation done right, and I would really like to see some kind of, like, I know one of my favorite programs on YouTube, I think it's called Lost in Adaptation, and I would love to see his take on this television show and what it is like as an adaptation. Because as an adaptation, it's bad because it doesn't adapt the books very well. But as a standalone work, building off of, like, something else, it's actually very good. So I really give it props for that. Another thing I have to give it props for before I go into character and acting is that I find that television today is really good. And while it's really good, there's also a lot of bad television shows out there. And being that I still live at home, I live with people who like to watch a lot of bad television. And the thing is, when I watch these bad TV shows, usually they're dramas, and they're usually on one of the major networks, CBS, ABC, or NBC, and they're trying to be gritty, and you can tell that they're trying to make it really dark and really, like, they're trying to bend the limits of what we can watch on television. And it's almost laughable when they do this, because it's not really gritty, and it's not really dark or dangerous. I always say to my mom, "You think that's dark? Maybe you should watch HBO or Showtime, and then come back to me and tell me how dark that is." Because usually it's not. It's just not gritty whatsoever. And the reason I laugh is just because, like, they're trying so hard to be something that, quite frankly, they can't be, because they're a show on a major network where people like clean entertainment, and so they just don't want any of that stuff, which is fine, but it just bothers me when a show tries to be gritty and it's like, wow, you're not gritty, you're just not. However, that was one of my concerns when I came to the show, and I'm not a big TNT fan, to be honest. I have heard, I think that show Animal Kingdom, I think it's called, that sounds very good. But, like, for the most part, I've just never liked TNT. It's always been a mixture of, like, attempting to be really gritty meets ABC Family, where it's like the first thing I think of is Rizzoli and Isles, like, where it's these fast quips, like a Gilmore Girls type thing, but then it has, like, a Law and Order feel to it. And granted, I could be totally wrong. I've never watched Rizzoli and Isles, but that's always the impression I got from that show and other TNT shows. They just look like they're trying to be dark and have dark humor, and it just never looks like it would actually work. But this show, it does a really good job with the grittiness. I think it captures it really well. And the thing is, when you have a thing like HBO or Showtime, or actually let me back up to a conversation I had one time. When I was in college, I took a novel writing class, and my professor one time, I believe it was the first class, actually came in, and he posed this scenario to us based on something that happened to him, where he shared an office with another professor, and their door was open, and they were, like, in one of the main buildings, so their office was where a lot of students would congregate to go to class or wait for class or what have you. And when he was in his office, there were these two girls outside the office talking about, I guess, classes and stuff. and they were using very filthy language. And it didn't bother my professor, but he could tell that it was bothering his office mate. So neither of them said anything. And finally, after a while, his office mate got up, went to the door, and told the girls to stop talking first so loud and stop saying such filthy language. And the girls ended up talking quieter and talking a bit nicer. And so my professor posed to us, what did we think of that whole thing? Now at the time, I mean, I'm a very shy person, so I did not speak my mind at all. But some of my classmates spoke up, obviously, and they had some very interesting points. One of them, I remember, said that this is a college campus, and as English majors, and as college students in general, we should be trying our best to push the boundaries of what is normal. Be trying to find, just to push the boundaries in general, actually, just push the boundary. What is normal? What isn't normal? Why is that? And so maybe cursing is a good thing because it's bending what is socially acceptable, the socially acceptable way to speak. And I think that's a really good point. But I also think, for a counterpoint, and this is what I originally believed and still do believe to a major extent, that I don't know if swearing is necessarily out of the norm. In fact, I find that most people I know swear quite often, and they will do it whether it is in a relaxed setting or a professional setting. So I find that because swearing is the norm, that to do so is almost cliche, and maybe we should be thinking of other ways to express ourselves, you know? Relating this story back to good behavior, I think that typically television shows will go the route of trying to bend the norms in the case relating to the story by swearing, which to me is kind of safe, a safer route. But I think good behavior says, no, we're going to change the language of how we do this. We're going to be different, and we're going to express ourselves with more creativity. And I think that's what they're doing. And it's a lot smarter television, and it's just very good. So I want to go back to the acting, and I want to sort of amend my statement in the previous episode where I talked about good behavior, because I listened back and I thought that it sort of came off that I thought Michelle Dockery was a bad actress, and this is not true. I first off want to say that Michelle Dockery has always been an amazing actress. When I first did watch her in Downton Abbey, when I first watched the first, I think, two series, maybe even three at that point, I thought she was one of the best actresses on the show. It was only after the series went on that I felt that it wasn't her that was the problem, but she was being set up for failure because of a bad script and a character that was going all over the place and had no direction. That being said, I've seen Michelle Dockery in a lot of things. I've seen her in the movie Hogfather, Turn of the Screw, Anna Karenina, but the most prominent thing for me, at least for me, not necessarily in general, but the most prominent thing for me is I saw her in a show called Waking the Dead, where she guest starred as a really messed up character, in a sense very similar to Letty. She didn't have addiction issues or anything like Letty, but it was very dark and a messed up character. So before I even saw Good Behavior, I want to stress that I knew that Michelle could pull off a character like this. And not only that, but I'd seen her pull off a character like this, and I couldn't wait to see her jump back into a character like this. So please don't misunderstand when I say, once again, that I think Michelle Dockery is in any way a bad actress. She's an amazing actress. I just think that Downton Abbey didn't do her any favors toward the end, because she had such a bland character who only had bitchy quips to throw out. one critique that I've seen over the internet is that Michelle Dockery looks too posh to play a role like this. And, yeah, a little bit. A lot of people have said that people enjoy the show because of Michelle Dockery's performance, but because they're so amazed by it, it's masking the fact that it doesn't work as a show. And I disagree with that, but I do think those comments are certainly valid, but I disagree with them. So, just throwing that out there. Either way, Michelle's awesome. As is the entire cast, I should say. Particularly, I do like, and I don't know the actress's name, but the woman who plays her mother is very good as well. I think I really like how she was able to handle the character of Letty's mom, how there seems to be so much backstory to her and so much history that was conveyed in her line reading and her facial expressions, and I thought that was really good. So final thing I want to talk about are the characters in general, and just my thoughts on all of them, and I'm going to save Letty for last, obviously, because she is the main character, the one we all really care about, besides Javier. First, I want to talk about her son, Jacob. I think Jacob, we don't know much about him yet, but I think we see him in episode 4, and we already see certain things that he said to his mother. Things how he seems to be poisoned to think bad about her based on what Letty's mom has said. And he also seems that he wants to identify more with his father, which I can understand. A young boy doing. He'd rather connect with his father because, you know, father figures and what have you. As for the mom, again, I really like her. She's really hurt by her daughter's actions, and you can see that. But you also know that she cares. I mean, she keeps, once again in episode 4, she keeps Letty's room completely as Letty left it. She also defends her at the high school reunion, which was just really nice to see. And she's mean to her. It's awful, but you can also see that she really loves her, and I think she's just been hurt, and that's where the meanness comes from. And it's not justifying it, but you can understand why she acts that way. It made me think of almost like The Lovely Bones, where, you know, the mother just doesn't leave Susie's door shut and does not want to even go in to the bedroom because that would make it, like, it would make her have to accept the fact that her daughter is dead. And I think that's the way Letty's mom sort of views it. Even though Letty's not dead, she's dead to what her daughter used to be. And so I find that very compelling and interesting. And I like when a show is able to give side characters compelling motivations and backstories. Unlike the movie Fantastic Beasts that I talked about in the previous episode. I'm still frustrated by that movie. Christian, I think he's the parole officer. He also has an interesting backstory. You know, I think he was a professor and he got caught selling kids drugs or doing drugs with kids, I forget. And, you know, now he's a parole officer. And you can tell that he can sympathize with Letty, and that's why he's so protective of her. And he, too, seems to be a drunk based on episode 5. I will say that one character I don't like, not just because he's a jerk, but because I think he's a bad character, is Christian's boss. Just seems very... not that... Okay. He seems very one-note. Not that bosses can't be one-note. I've had many bosses who are assholes like that guy. It's just that, I don't know. Just seems just a little too one-note for a show that's filled with characters that are so complex and interesting. Javier. I'm very mixed on my feelings about Javier because I think, you know, especially in episode 5, we got to see his family dynamic and learn more about him and his relationship with his parents, particularly his father, who I guess he felt abandoned by, and who is on his deathbed giving money to his kids to make amends for his past actions. but he's also a hitman, and so I kind of want to know how he got into that business and how he justifies going about that, because he doesn't seem like a bad person. I mean, he seems good for Letty. He doesn't want her to be a junkie. You know, he wants her to get her son back. He wants her to turn her life around. And he recognizes the phoniness, especially in that podcast thing she listens to, that app. And he's very smooth and easygoing, very cool in tough situations, except in episode 3 when they got hit by the car. He wasn't too cool and collected then. But I think he is a very interesting character. I'm interested to see what's happening. I'm glad that they're actually giving him more depth than the books gave him, or the stories gave him, and I'm very interested. I'm very interested to see what happens. And finally, Letty. Letty Vrains. Let's talk about her. So, she basically is what holds the show together. And I think some other critiques I've heard about the show is with Letty, that they're turned off by how this character is very inconsistent and doesn't meet the qualifications for a character in her situations. And I think that these critiques are completely nonsensical. Like, I can forgive certain things, like when they critique Michelle Dockery for looking too posh. I can totally see where that's coming from. She looks posh. She looks like British royalty, right? Like, she doesn't look like a trashy drug addict. But this, to me, is quite frankly an ignorant statement. Characters have to have flaws, and they can't just be one note. They have to be complex. And so I think that Letty is very complex. People go back and forth tons of times on their motivations. People are not straightforward like stories often portray them, you know. We see Letty wanting to be a good person and wanting to not be an alcoholic anymore, but then you also see her drinking alcohol and so easily doing it, and that's so real and that's so interesting. And she really is this walking contradiction, and isn't that real life? You know, we're all in our own way walking contradictions. I know tons of times I will feel a certain way, and then I'll look at my actions and I'm like, oh, huh, that is weird. Like, that is not what I believe at all. Like, I never thought I was like that, but I am. Like, because people are so complex. Like, we can't even begin to understand people in any way. Like, so it's just, it's interesting. So here's a good example, actually. So somebody I know, I won't say who, their favorite Christmas special is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And at the heart of that Christmas special, it's about accepting people who are different. So you would think that the person who loves this Christmas special would also have that mentality, but no, this person I know is very bigoted, and I think that's so interesting how somebody could love a Christmas special about not being bigoted, but yet being a bigot themselves. And I think that's how people are, you know? Even think of Holden Caulfield from Catcher in the Rye. You know, he wants to save all the children from growing up and the bad influences, yet he himself is a bad influence. And it's very literary. It's a very literary quality to the show, and one that I really appreciate. I also really appreciate just the characterization of Letty, how we see her really loving to play a part. You know, how she's very good at coming up with stories and making them believable, and it's her way of escaping the bad habits that she has, whether it's getting high or drinking alcohol. You know, when she's not herself, she enters this new high, and it's just very interesting. Like, can she not handle to be herself? It's a very, again, a literary quality to the show that just is puts it on another level compared to other television shows. And I also think Letty plays on the trope of the damsel in distress. You know, she can act tough, but deep down she's very vulnerable, and she uses these disguises to make her real, or I should say, to mask her real problems with substance and alcohol. And one thing I find very interesting is she's always hinting back to writing. Like, she talks about how she's a high school English teacher, how she's writing a book on the side. Another time she says she's a ghostwriter for Girl on the Train. And I'm guessing perhaps this is hinting to a life she wishes she could have. And I would really like the show to explore that more, to see, you know, because what are Letty's hobbies? I would like, genuinely like to know, because we haven't really gotten that yet. So I would like to see her, the things she enjoys more. So hopefully the show will go into that territory. But anyway, those are just my general thoughts on the show so far, up to episode 5. Really enjoying it. I really, really encourage you to watch it. It's, to me, it's one of the better shows on TV. It's not the best, but it's really, really well done, and I encourage everybody to watch it. That is it from me. If you would like to learn more or keep up with the show, hit the subscribe button, or you can subscribe on iTunes for the audio version, and you can check me out. I'm at www.keepcalmreadonblog.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, having fun isn't hard when you have a library card.